You're listening to KCBX, Central Coast Public Radio, here on NPR One.
For miles around, you'll hear them sing. Roll out the barrel. We'll have a barrel of fun.
I'm Tom Wilmer reporting from Fredericksburg, Texas. Come along and join us at Fredericksburg Brewing Company for a visit with brewmaster Rick Green and assistant brewmaster Riley Smith, where they talk about their philosophy of honoring Fredericksburg's German heritage by basing their brewing methods on the German Rheinsgewalt purity laws of 1560, limiting beer ingredients to hops, barley, yeast, and water. Although they do diverge today and come up with some really fun, zesty beers.
I'm Rick Green, brewmaster at Fredericksburg Brewing Company in Fredericksburg, Texas.
And I'm Riley Smith. I'm the assistant brewer here.
So you guys live and breathe beer, hops, yeast? Yeah.
Yeah, beer, and more beer.
So let's talk about hops, grains, yeast for a moment.
Well, you know, being in a German town, we do a lot of German styles, so we were talking about the Rheinheitsgebot, the German beer purity law. Most all of our styles adhere to that. We do make a small concession to the modern trend of adding the different herbs and spices and flavors.
Kind of seasonal.
That is definitely seasonal, and we'll only do small batch, one or two kegs at a time of those. You know, we're talking about our chili pepper, Mexican lager, lemongrass, ginger, hefeweizen. Peach ale in the summertime seems to be our most popular one that we do, but you know, I do it as a concession. I've always thought that if you want those things, you should order your beer and then order a plate of those things and eat it and enjoy it with your beer instead of just dumping it in there. But I'm more of an old school guy.
And how about alcohols? Rocket fuel or more of a low alcohol? Which would you prefer?
Well, we do a little bit of all of them. I prefer just the lower or the middle of the road alcohols. But we see with our seasonals, the most popular ones are the higher alcohol.
Since people are having fun.
Right, yeah.
How about you tell me about your story about beer and how you came to be assistant brewmaster?
Well, I pretty much grew up around this place. My first job actually here, other than mowing lawns and stuff like that, was bussing tables here.
Kind of grew up here then?
Very much so, and I've had lots of family members work here over the years. I've worked off and on here over the years. Like I was saying earlier, I mean, I've come in on some of my days off and clean kegs and help with grain out and do some of the grunt work for them. I spent several years out in the oil field and was through that process, learned a lot of the processes of moving liquid with pressures and working in kind of this type of environment of dealing with hot liquids and high pressures and things like that. So a lot of that,
drinking lots of beer.
Drinking lots of beer. But a lot of that transferred over into this. And then, you know, me and Rick have just also just been friends for a long time. You know, we go fishing and stuff together. So,
and what's the most rewarding part of your job now, what you do?
Quality control. No, it's really good getting to work with Rick. And, I mean, he's a world-class brewer, and this is absolutely an amazing opportunity for me to get to learn from an amazing brewer. So I love learning, and I'm working now in a place where I get to do that. I'm excited about it.
For yourself, what's your biggest challenge? You're kind of like Groundhog Day, and every day it starts over again, and yet there's something totally new and different every day.
Biggest challenge, keeping up with the demand, trying not to run out of any beer, especially over a weekend. You know, we talk about keeping it fresh and introducing a new style here every now and again. I guess for me is brewing those German style lagers, especially the lighter ones. Every little thing you get wrong is going to show up in the end. So
I can hide or mask
it. Yeah. So maybe that's, you know, when I first started, I was really hophead. I loved the IPAs, and I still do, but I've really gravitated more towards the lighter German-style lagers, the Pilsners and the Munich Helles. And I think when you get those just right, they are so good. And that's probably for me what it is just trying to get those just right.
What sort of palate do you have for sourcing hops, and what are those variables that you can choose from here?
Well, You know, as a brew pub, we can have a lot of different styles. People really expect us to have the German styles, so that's been something that I've learned over the years. I was always more familiar as a home brewer with the traditional American hops, the Cascade and Chinook and all of the old ones. Now there's so many new varieties to try, and we even did our Maibock last spring with a newer variety that I'd never used, German Polaris, and it was kind of an adventure. How's this going to turn out? And it was, you know, it had all the minty overtones that I had never experienced before, so.
Pleasantly surprised.
Yeah, definitely. And that's, you know, it's
it must be weird for you, too, because as a brewmaster, you don't know what you're going to get until it's all done.
Right, yeah. We don't have to be as patient as winemakers, you know, and wait quite as long, but
you still can't intervene while it's cooking. You know?
Yeah, that's right. You know, once the brew day is done, we're just yeah.
And then talk to us about yeast for a moment. There was a place I was up in Wisconsin, and the brewmasters called themselves basically yeast ranchers.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's our main job, is to give our yeast a healthy, happy place to live and do their work. And, you know, we're just doing the cleaning and scrubbing and giving them a place to do the magic.
How about sourcing of yeast? And this yeast is, a specific yeast is a variable in the nuances of the end result.
We've always used, since I started, White Labs yeast is, I've been the supplier that I've gone with. They have just an incredible array of yeast to choose from. Our house strain is their California ale yeast, which is, you know, famous from Sierra Nevada. And then we've experimented with several German lager yeasts over the years. And then, of course, our German Hefeweizen yeast. So that was something for several years that was real fun for me to try out these different yeasts. But I've pretty much got it settled. Yeah. It's we've got our three go-to yeasts now. We don't really get away from those very much.
Okay, and your guys, you have a day off, you have a weekend off. Do you ever go beer tasting?
Oh, yeah. And now, in especially this area of Texas, there's so many new breweries opening that we're way behind on going to visit. It used to be that I'd been to all of them, and now there's...
You know how many are out there.
Exactly. Yeah. And but yeah, wherever we go, you look to see, okay, we're going to be going within 20 miles of this brewery. We're going to go. And we do as much of that as we can.
Do you ever discover some pleasant surprises or some neat things you hadn't thought of by venturing out?
Yeah. You know, sometimes you get more of like the envy of like, why can't we do that? Why don't we have more room to have, a lot of the barrel aging that a lot of guys do. We've done some limited of that, but we just...
Part of it just physical space, right?
Yeah, but that's also cool because to be able to go and taste those and, we could do that if we had more room, but it's cool to be able to go and get that at other places.
Well, I'm looking up. We could maybe do a stairway up there.
Right.
Check out those bed and brews up there. And
an elevator.
That'd be pretty cool. Talk to us about your tanks over there. You have one, a more traditional copper.
Right. That's actually from 1994. It was a Bohemian Brewery Importers, 15 barrel size. So our typical batch in gallons is going to be around 465 gallons or so finished product. We have our conical bottom fermenters up there at the front. They started out in 94 just with this side and quickly realized if we're going to do any lagers, they were going to need more tank space. So they added three more in that room next door. And then we grew and kept producing more. So in 2008, we added three more in that room next door. So we're able to keep up with demand, but just barely.
You know, I always say that brewery dudes like you, you're whiskey producers, but you just quit too early.
Yeah. But when we get home, sometimes we fill our glass with a little whiskey.
Yeah. But I guess my question is, have you ever thought of taking your product and bringing it home?
Yeah, definitely. And, you know, that's another whole trend. You're seeing a lot more craft distilleries opening everywhere. So
you're halfway there.
Yeah, it's We have some friends that have gone that route, and but that's you know, a whole other area to explore. And
in your spare time.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, well, thanks so much, you guys, for sharing.
Yeah.
And so for further information, if somebody wanted to learn more.
Rick Green, Fredericksburg Brewing Company, Fredericksburg, Texas.
Riley Smith, Assistant Brewer, Fredericksburg, Texas, Fredericksburg Brewing Company.
Thank you guys so much.
All right, thank you.
You've been listening to the Lowell Thomas Award-winning travel show Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer, a featured podcast on NPR.org's podcast directory. Produced by California Central Coast NPR affiliate KCBX. You are invited to subscribe to Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer on NPR.org, NPR One, iTunes, Stitcher.com, and more than 20 other podcast channels around the world. To learn more about Tom Wilmer's journeys around America and the world, log on to thomaswilmer.com. Funding for Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer is provided by Hawaiian Legacy Reforestation Initiative.
Hawaiian Legacy Hardwoods and Four Seasons Resort invite you to sponsor a legacy tree and contribute to the biodiversity of Hawaii. Legacy trees can honor an individual, commemorate an event, or memorialize a loved one. Every tree dedication is a living legacy and a gift which grows grander year after year. The best time to plant a tree was 20 years ago. The second best time is now.
The Hawaiian Legacy Reforestation Initiative was recently awarded the prestigious Phoenix Award by the Society of American Travel Writers. HLRI was one of four recipients of the prestigious award that recognizes international organizations actively involved in conservation, preservation, beautification, and anti-pollution campaigns that further the growth and appeal of travel destinations.